He is risen. I can't hear anything. He is risen. Oh, I forgot. You're not present here this morning with us. But I'm sure you said he is risen indeed in your homes. It's good to be with you remotely today on this Easter Sunday, the most important day of the year, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to look at Luke 24 today, verses 13 to 35. But before we do, let's ask the Lord to bless this time in His Word. Lord, we thank You for this special day. We thank You for the remembrance that each of us can have today, the fact that You rose from the dead, and through that resurrection, You conquered death and sin and provided a way for us to know forgiveness of sin and to be able to be in heaven one day with You. And we rejoice, Lord, in that which is ours in Christ Jesus. And as we look into Your Word on this Easter Sunday morning, we pray, Lord, that You would speak Your truth into our hearts and lives, and that You would draw us closer to Yourself. For we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and our conquering Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. It was the afternoon of the third day following the crucifixion and death of Jesus when two of His followers had a strange encounter along the road. They were traveling to the village of Emmaus, which is located in the city of Jerusalem. We're not entirely sure why they were traveling there. It could be that they were pilgrims who had been to Jerusalem for Passover and merely en route home. Or it could be that they had business to attend to in the city of Emmaus. Luke only identifies one of them. His name was Cleopas. And all we know is that his name was Greek and that he had some connection with those who had followed Jesus. As they walked along, they talked about everything that had transpired over those eventful days of Passover, a week that burned its way into history as the most important for man, and for that matter, all of creation. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like to be a follower of Jesus at that time? How would you have described what you just experienced to a stranger who had never heard? Well, as Cleopas and his friend made their way to Emmaus, immersed in conversation about these things, we're told that Jesus came up and He walked along with them. He was a stranger to them, for His identity was kept from them. It was not uncommon, but very customary, for travelers headed in the same direction to walk together. And in the course of their journey, Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Stunned at His question, they stopped in the road and they stood with downcast faces. These two men were very sad. And Cleopas asked Him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these days? In other words, where have you been? Haven't you read the newspapers or watched the news lately? I mean, news of things that have taken place is all over town and most of the nation knows by now." Well, Jesus played dumb and He responded to Cleopas's question by asking His own. "What things?" "All about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "Certainly you've heard about Him. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified Him. We had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem Israel, the promised Messiah. But He's dead. And even more amazing than this is the news of some of our women brought us. They had gone to the tomb early this morning to anoint Jesus' body. But when they arrived, they found the stone rolled away from the entrance and the tomb empty. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And then some of our companions, Peter and John, they ran to the tomb and found it empty, just as the women had said. They stopped talking, their faces still downcast, for they, like the other disciples, found themselves in a state of shock. They were trying to understand the events of Jesus' crucifixion and death when Jesus approached and began to talk with them. Now, we know from these verses that there were five facts that these two believed. First of all, they believed that Jesus of Nazareth was a powerful prophet of God. They believed his words and works had authenticated his person. Third, they believed Jesus was crucified. They believed that he had been murdered by the priests and the rulers of the nation. And they had believed that Jesus was the one promised by God who was going to redeem Israel. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And lastly, they had a report from some of their women, as well as from two of Jesus' closest disciples, that although Jesus had been buried, his tomb was now empty. The only problem was that their beliefs formed a puzzle that was impossible for them to put together. Thus we can understand their state of mind. We can understand their bewilderment and despair. The one they had placed their hope in, the one they had placed their trust in, the one that they loved was now dead, or so they thought. I remember many, many years ago when our children were living at home with us as a family, one of the things that we often did when we went away on a vacation was to put together a major puzzle. When the boys were younger, a puzzle of 500 to 1,000 or more pieces seemed impossible. They thought, we can never be able to put something like this together. And so Ruth mainly would help, and eventually the picture would come together. Well, as they got older, they became experts and would work diligently for hours until what were merely pieces formed a beautiful picture. Well, Cleopas and his friend needed someone to help them put the pieces of the puzzle together. On hearing their response, Jesus, he chided them. He chided them for not understanding and believing. You see, numerous times, Jesus had expressed the fact that the Son of Man would enter his glory, but he first must suffer and die and in 3 days be raised from the dead. These men, as well as the other disciples, had failed to remember those lessons that Jesus taught. And so Jesus takes them on a walk through the Bible as they walk along the road to Emmaus. And he shows them God's grand theme. He shows them his redemptive plan that threads its way throughout all of Scripture. From Moses through the prophets, Jesus showed them what the Scriptures had to say about him. What the Scriptures had to say was that he was truly the Messiah. He put the pieces of the puzzle together by interpreting the Word of God, the Scriptures, for them once again. Well, as they approached Emmaus, probably several hours after leaving Jerusalem, Jesus acted as though he had to go on. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." I'm sure they were interested in hearing more from this very well-informed stranger. And so Jesus accepted their hospitality, which was customary in that day, and he went in to stay with them. as they sat around the table, enjoying some food and fellowship after their long journey, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And it was at that very moment that their eyes were open, and they recognized, wait a minute, this is no mere stranger. This was Jesus, the one that they had placed their hope and trust in. And then as soon as they realized who it was, he disappeared from their sight. Can you for a moment just imagine the excitement that they must have been experiencing? They had experienced a close encounter with the resurrected Christ. Bubbling over with enthusiasm, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? We're told that they quickly got up and they returned to Jerusalem. And I would guess that they made the trip in record time with adrenaline pumping through them. They probably sprinted the whole 7 miles, no longer in a state of bewilderment or despair, but with joy and confidence. They went to where the 11 were gathered with an assembly of other believers, and they declared, "It is true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Here Cleopas and his cohort confirmed the testimony of Peter and the other women that indeed the tomb was empty. Then they related what had happened as they were walking toward Emmaus and how they came to recognize Jesus when he broke bread and gave thanks, something that they had seen him do countless times before. And then to top it all off, beginning in verse 36, we read, "And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. 'Peace be with you,' he said." But the whole group was startled, frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? I mean, look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Go ahead, touch me. Make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, as I'm sure we all would have, filled with joy and wonder. And then he asked them, "Don't you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. And then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said, "Yes, it was written a long time ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day." Oh my. Questions were answered. I mean, it all began to make sense. Now they understood what the Lord had all along been telling them. The emotions of fear and disbelief coupled with joy and wonder were experienced, followed with a lesson from God's Word to confirm everything that had happened and was happening. I mean, can you even comprehend what an unbelievable experience that must have been for all of them? Jesus was alive. He was risen from the dead. Hallelujah! As I thought about the experiences of those whose lives we consider today, I had to ask myself, and I encourage you to ask yourself, what keeps me? What keeps you at times from experiencing the reality of the risen Christ in our lives? I've been a follower of Jesus for almost 55 years. That's a long, long time. At the age of 10, God impressed upon my heart that I was a sinner and I needed what He offered me in His Son Jesus. And so in faith, I confessed my sin and I invited Jesus into my life. I believe from that point on, I've had a relationship with Him. But quite honestly, there are times my relationship with Jesus resembles the lives of those we consider today. Cleopas and his friend, Peter, John, and the others. I know Christ as they did. And like them, I will find myself at times discouraged, disillusioned, worried, fearful, fretful, and anxious, and even tempted by what's happening in my life. Instead of experiencing the reality of the risen Christ's presence in my life as I go through difficult and uncertain times. As I have pondered my predicament, I believe it comes down to this. In our minds, there are certain facts that we believe about Jesus. But like Cleopas and his friend and the other disciples, they form a puzzle that we can't quite put together. And that puzzle exists possibly because we do not see or know the Lord Jesus in all of His fullness. Cleopas and his companion were looking at life at face value. Their vision of Jesus was only what they could see. And what they could see was that He was dead. He was gone. And it was over. Even with the reports of an empty tomb, they still did not understand. The Old Testament that they had and the teaching of Jesus that they sat under showed them that He is much more than just a great prophet, much more than just a powerful healer or an amazing friend. Their understanding of Jesus was limited, and their relationship with Him had not grown to the point where they could trust Him in the midst of all the difficulties of life, like the loss they were experiencing after His crucifixion. Could it be that our understanding of Jesus is limited, so that at difficult times we do not experience the reality of the resurrected Christ in our lives? Could it be that we don't know Jesus as well as we think we do? To grow in our understanding of Him, I believe it's really critical to spend time with Him in the Scriptures. Just like He took Cleopas and his friend and the others that He gathered with a little later, back to the Word of God, back to the Scriptures. I believe it's critical for us to spend time with Him in the Scriptures and by faith take Him at His Word, even in the darkest of times, in the uncertainty of our circumstances. My friends, Jesus is alive today. He's alive every day. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you recognize His presence in your life today? He's here. Open your eyes. Open your heart to Him. It's my hope and prayer that this Resurrection Sunday will strike a chord of excitement in all of our hearts, much like that which was struck in Cleopas and his companion's heart when they recognize that Jesus is alive. May we allow the reality of Christ's resurrection to be a source of renewed hope and strength in our lives. May we allow the resurrection of Jesus to draw us closer to Him. Will you pray with me? Lord, this day is indeed the most special day of the year when we remember and we celebrate, Lord Jesus, Your resurrection from the dead. And we thank You, Lord, for all that, that you accomplished on the cross and all that you accomplished when you rose from the dead. We praise your name for that today, Lord. And we ask that each and every day, the reality of your presence, the reality of your resurrection, the reality of your life in us would become more and more real to each and every one of us. And that we would spend time in your word, getting to know you better, strengthening the faith that we have in you. Lord, we praise your name. We bring glory and honor to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.